You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
First day of July. Yeah, in case you didn't know it was summer, kaboom. I spent the weekend traveling, going to a wedding. My godson, Mike McGarry, and Jillian McGarry now. Congratulations to them. And headed up to Lake Tahoe. But I kind of took the long way. And I didn't really mean to. And I don't really understand what happened. I said this when I went over to Yuma during the middle of the month, what, around the 18th of June, if I'm not mistaken, either one. So I drove over to Yuma and I just talked about how much I enjoy driving in the country and how beautiful it is. And in California, because of all the rain in spring, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely spectacular. Well, I have this now to augment those comments, okay? You can set all that aside when you talk about driving up to Lake Tahoe. Lake Tahoe is, I mean, it's absolutely spectacular, you know, just in terms of take your breath away beauty. And so, but I did get, it took me longer than it should have to get there. So leaving Southern California in the morning of a weekday can be problematic, right? You have this big, you're going to add how long, pick a number, you know, going through Los Angeles. So it says, if you can't get through the city early, then I got sent east, right, out the east side of L.A. You get east, and then you go up on the east side of the Sierra Nevadas in a two-lane road. Some places it's wider, but essentially called 395. It takes you to Bridgeport for Marines that have been to Bridgeport, California. So it's on the, it's an access road to a highway that gives you access to the eastern side of the Sierra Nevadas. All right, so, but they're doing road construction on 395. And so, you know how you get, you know, on your navigation program, you get options, right? Well, you could go through Death Valley, and that's going to be 20 minutes faster. Or you can go all the way through Las Vegas and cut over, and then that's going to be. Now this is where it got tricky, and I think I don't know how this happened. You can go through Las Vegas, and that will be only 15 minutes faster. So I thought, okay, so now I start thinking. The time computations aren't really right, because when you drive up the 15 from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, if you're not going 90 miles an hour, you're going to get rear-ended. You need to have your flashers on. And I'm not saying that any great source of pride or anything like that. That is simply the way it is. All right, so I'm thinking, okay, well, the way this is going to go is the longer I can stay on interstate, the better that is for me, right? And then, because I'll be going 90 as opposed to on a two-lane highway with road construction on it. Like, who needs that? All right, so I'm driving, and I'm listening to something. I don't know what I was listening to. Friday morning, what would I have been listening to? I don't know. Talking on the phone to my friends. And I get north of Las Vegas. And the distance to Tahoe is not getting smaller. It's gotten bigger. I'm like, what the hell happened? So I don't know. I don't know if the Chinese like sabotaged the navigation satellites, or probably the Russians on Friday morning. So it wound up I didn't get there till 4 in the afternoon. But let me just tell you, driving in there, you get reminded how just spectacular the Sierra Nevadas are, and in particular Lake Tahoe. I mean, again, take your breath away, beautiful. And just the bigness of the country, how beautiful. And then yesterday, got up, stayed with some friends of mine from college who have a beautiful place that's maybe a few miles from where they filmed Godfather Part 2 up there. Yeah, you can still see the dock and, you know, the house. They changed the house a little bit. But, you know, you can certainly still see it. And the stone that is used in, so it's where Michael goes to Lake Tahoe, where Fredo gets shot in the boat at Lake Tahoe. Yeah. Where Kay comes to the door at Lake Tahoe, and then Michael walks in and shuts the door. Yeah, all of that. Yeah, so that house is there. And, so stayed with some friends there, and just beautiful. And then the wedding was awesome. In fact, yeah, lest I forget this. The wedding ceremony was the best wedding I've ever been to in my life because of the priest. I don't even know the guy's name. He didn't go to the reception. I didn't get a chance to meet him. But it was the best wedding I've ever been to in my entire life. Right. And I read at it. I read for those of you that are Catholic, we have this thing called the responsorial psalm. So I read that. And there's a story behind that too. I'm Mike's godfather, so his godmother was going to read, so we had to counterbalance it with his godfather. So anyway, but the priest comes in, and so it was a wedding without a mass, and the whole thing was this interactive, fun celebration of their wedding. At one point he says, "But all the bridesmaids stand up." And they all stand up. And he says, "Do they look great or what?" And he says, "How about a round of applause?" Right? They put in a lot of work for weddings, I know. And so the whole church gives him a round of applause. And he looks over at the groomsmen and the ushers. He goes, "You guys are all right too." And then he has everybody who's been married for more than, I think, 25 or 30 years stand up. We're going to go around the room. I want you to say how long you've been married. And by the way, I know Trump was in North Korea, and he met with Xi, and blah, blah, blah. We'll get to that, trust me. So he has everybody say, how long have you been married, and tell us the secret of give us the secret of a good marriage. And so everybody goes around the church, and they go around the church. I don't know, there might have been a dozen couples that stood up and had been married from anywhere from 30 to 42 years, I think was the oldest couple. And it was cool. Then he called the people that read up. So I did not like the psalm that I had to read. And you know what? I took a picture of it so I could practice before I went up there. Because, you know, there's a certain syntax that goes with reading psalms. And if you don't really get it, then it doesn't come out right. Okay, so let me find the psalm here, and I'll tell you. And so I'm sitting before Mass, before the wedding. I'm sitting there, and there was a judge, right? My godson's mother, right? Her brother is a judge in Orange County. So he's sitting next to me, and I've known him for years. His name's Richard Aronson. And so I look at him, and I said, hey, judge, if I have a broad mental reservation about the psalm, I mean, is it a big deal if I change the words, like write my own stuff in there? Because I think clearly it's inappropriate. I don't know who wrote the psalm, but clearly a chip on the shoulder. I think they had just gotten their ass kicked when they wrote this thing. And he looked at me and starts laughing. He says, well, if you have a broad mental reservation, I think that means you have carte blanche to do whatever you want as the, you know, you're gonna speak the words. I said, that's what I thought. Anyway, I did not change the psalm, although I should have. So here's the psalm, right? So I walk up there, right? The response is, the Lord is kind and merciful, right? So now, here are the verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and within me his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and never forget his benefits. And then you put your hands up, and everybody says, the Lord is kind and merciful. Second paragraph. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and rich in mercy. As a father has compassion on his children, the Lord's compassion is on those who fear him. Now, like, what is that doing in a wedding? Like, why are we talking about fear at a wedding? So I read that, and I'm like, that's bullshit, right? And then I raise my hand, the Lord is kind of merciful. But the mercy of the Lord is everlasting upon those who hold him in fear. Once again, we're talking about fear. Upon children's children, his righteousness for those who keep his covenant. Okay, like, all right, I got it. We like obedience. But we're talking about love, devotion, and selflessness today. So I thought I would tweak the son of a bitch, right? So now he gets up and he calls the first reader up, and he says, go get the book. And instead of getting the binder on the podium that we read from, he went and got the book over on a side table. And the priest looks at me and goes, no, the binder. So he brings it up. He goes, what did this mean to you? What's the important part of the reading? And so I hear this, and I'm like, I'm going to get to go up there. But he discriminated. Yeah. It was like the psalm reader did not get asked to come up, because if I went up there and he said, what was the major point of the reading? I was like, you know, I got a problem with the reading, Father. I'm not going to lie to you. I toyed with changing the words, but because I'm a disciplined guy, I didn't do that. But I wanted to, because I think it's clearly inappropriate today for the occasion. But then I thought, you know what? Maybe the bride shows it. Now, if the groom chose it, I would give a shit, right? Like, I don't care about hurting his feelings. But his wife, like, I don't need to do that in public. So there was a lot of shit going on in the wedding. But so he brings up everybody, you know, to talk about the Gospels and the readings. He asks the groom's parents to stand up, right? He asks the bride's parents to stand up. And he just talks to them. And so it felt like a celebration. It was happy, it was fun, it was interesting, and then he turned around and he spoke to them, and asked them some questions, and then they stood up and they got married. But it was single best wedding I've ever had. Now, I'm driving, so I'm driving home on, we'll get to the news at some point. I'm driving home on yesterday morning. And, you know what? As I get older, I have wonderful friends, right? And my friends, Anna and Ted, man, they have a beautiful place at Lake Tahoe. And my godson's parents, they have a pretty nice place in Tahoe too. They've done all right in life. So anyway, but I like to be on my own. And, so anyway, I leave yesterday morning, and I time leaving, the Yankees and the Red Sox are going to play in London. And they're going to play a day game, which means it's on at 10 o'clock on the East Coast, and it starts at 7:10 on the West Coast. So I leave at about 7:10. Get in, listen to the ball game, driving through the Sierras. You leave West Lake Tahoe, you go northwest towards a city called Truckee. You get on Interstate 80, and then you go through the Sierra Nevadas, where, you know, you go adjacent to Donner Lake, where the Donner Party ate each other and all that, California and migration history in the country. So you see that, which is cool. And then I've said before that if you ever get to Sacramento, right, one of the places you ought to go to is the Railroad Museum there. One of the big problems of developing California as a state was getting the railroad through the Sierra Nevadas, and nobody could find a place. So now you had the gold rush, right, and you had things coming over the Sierra Nevadas in wagons, and they knew, right, and then the big four of California, what, Stanford, Crocker, you've heard of Crocker, you may not have, but there used to be a big bank in California called it's now called Bank of California. I think it was called Crocker Bank before that. That was him. Samuel Huntington, Huntington Beach, that guy, all that. Leland Stanford, and I can't remember the fourth dude's name. I should know that guy. They were called the Robber Barons. Yeah. There was four of them. Who were the four robber barons? Oh, that's on the national. Who were the big four in California? Huntington, Stanford, Mark Hopkins. Yeah, there's a hotel in San Francisco called the Mark Hopkins. Big time stuff. And Charles Crocker. All right, so they, an engineer by the name of Theodore Judah, comes up with the route through the Sierra Nevadas. So as you're driving, if you go to the museum, you can see the way they blasted it, right? Using Chinese laborers around 1850. I mean, and it's, in my opinion, it's fascinating stuff. And my dad, before he became somebody, when he was just a normal human being, he worked for the railroad. Right? And he'd go up there, and I remember him telling stories about, you should see what those guys did up there. It's amazing. You know, cause he'd go up there when there'd be a landslide or, you know, snow slide. And I don't know, he was in his 30s and he'd come back from playing baseball and he'd work for the Southern Pacific because his father worked for the Southern Pacific, for the SP as it was known. One of his uncles worked for the Southern Pacific. So he would get a job on a chain gang. Like they'd go out and fill in holes and jackhammer stuff and fix stuff and whatnot. And so he would tell stories about being up there and just how unbelievable the whole engineering is. And you see it snake through the Sierra Nevadas, all blasted by hand by Chinese laborers. So I mean, and just spectacular views. So anyway. And then come through my hometown, Sacramento, and I wanted to see my uncle Muggs, but he was not there. He was at church, and I wanted to get back home, so I called and said hi. And then got back here and made dinner. Made one of the best dinners I've had in, I don't know, maybe a decade, maybe 20 or 30 years. Last night it was awesome. I don't know why it tasted so good, but it was awesome. Ribeye steak, mashed potato, wasn't anything special, and asparagus, but everything was delicious. Muy delicioso. So, yeah, that was my weekend. And the Red Room reception, get a chance to see, you know, obviously friends and my friends' families and stuff like that. So very, very, very cool weekend for me. Let me tell you one other thing about the reception. I didn't even talk about the reception. Wherever I go, you know, people asking, you know, hey, I hear you're doing this. And I'll say, well, as a matter of fact, I am. And it amazes me how many people are interested in, how do I phrase it, in the idea of trauma and living with trauma and all of that. I find it amazing. That I spend a fair amount of time talking about that, and which is really cool. But I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I am surprised. And so anyway, it was a fun weekend, and so. Much in the news from the weekend. This morning, a couple breaking stories. One is that the Iranians have announced they have exceeded. So stand by, you know, the F-35 in Israel's are on the tarmac right now. They have exceeded their production of what is allowed under their JPOA. So again, the United States did not react appropriately. The United States was supposed to, according to the Iranian script, right, unleash a kinetic strike, right? Iran would then get painted as the victim in all of this. And then they would go to Europe and say, hey, you've got to help us out. United States is, you know, they're locking down our economy. And now they're hammering us. And their drone was in our airspace. Blah, 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 blah. We only rescued those tankers and the crews. We were the humanitarian, right? And the Americans have done this shit. So anyway, it didn't work. So we'll see where this goes because it's off script. It's off script. Anyway. So that's breaking news this morning, that announcement. Also, we'll see where this goes. Like, protesters in Hong Kong have taken over their legislature. Yeah. So, it's almost, I won't say humorous, because it's not. Because, like, the Chinese are not the most, let's say, they don't do a whole lot of sleight of hand with protesters. It's pretty much wooden club. It's pretty much wooden club stuff. So that's going on this morning. And then you have everybody coming out and talking about the president, the agreement with China. And then going to North Korea. Was that a photo op or is that going to lead to something more? Anyway, Grant Newsham will join us at the top of the hour. So, with Mac's magical weekend now accounted for, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official on the first day of July and the week we celebrate our nation's birthday, which is always a cool week. So get your flags ready. Iron them. That's right. You heard me. Get the iron out. We'll be right back. And this is dedicated to Mike and Jillian and the priest, who I don't know his name, who said the greatest who presided over the best wedding I've ever been to in my life. Weddings are supposed to be celebrations. In fact, when I was sitting there, at the end of it, I turned to the judge who had given me permission to change the psalm that I didn't change. But I turned to him and I said, "This is the best wedding I've ever been to." And the woman behind me looked at me and said, "I just said the same thing." And it reminded me of what, you know, reading New Testament, Jesus is at the wedding in what, Canaan? Is that where he changes the water to wine? Where Mary comes to him and says, "They're running out of water, son. You need to do something. You need to do some of your stuff." And the word celebration, right? And the first time I'd ever been to a ceremony that was conducted to be part of the celebration. And he was awesome. Oh, so now my cousin Tom works for the Diocese of Sacramento. Okay. And he and I are talking yesterday. He's in Florida watching his kid play baseball. And so we hadn't spoken in a few days. And so we're talking. And so he says, where was the wedding? And I said, it was in Incline Village. And Tom says, "Hey, you know, the priest up there is supposed to be just a great guy." And I said, "As a matter of fact, he best wedding I've ever been to in my life." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, Tom, it's phenomenal. It was funny. It was interesting, right? It was, you know, it was incredible." He was like, "Well," he said, "and he comes with a reputation." So this is dedicated to Mike and Jillian and that priest, whoever he is. You know, I should get him on and ask him about that. Yeah. Yeah. So, this is dedicated to them.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
during firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time for us to check the news here in Marine Land. Jack Keane is speaking right now. I wonder what he's saying. All right, currently mostly cloudy and 80 in Quantico, sunny and 92 at Camp Lejeune, sunny and 84 in Marine Corps Base 29 Palms, clouds of 63 at Pendleton, dark cloudy and 78 in Hawaii, the home of the brigade, as it's known, or used to be known. It is dark cloudy and 83 in Okinawa, home of the 3rd Marine Division. It's 101 in Al Anbar. Jack and Joe are out getting after somebody in the backyard. That's always helpful. It is clear in 95 in the Helmand province of Afghanistan. Sunny in 67 in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area, where two dogs are going to get their asses beat here shortly. Anyway, no, I'm kidding, okay? So don't write me any emails saying, I hope you don't beat your dog. Right? Anyway, there's a possum that's around sometimes, so I need to go investigate that. So we will take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the one and only canine friendly All Marine Radio.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SimperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good. But I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good. But I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk you to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the ache of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I scream, yeah. I'm gonna stand here and watch this.
Peyton Davis.
Danger and show no emotion. Forget your name. Wipe your lips off my pain. But right now it's just me. Alone on this earth. So I'm gonna stand here and watch this cigarette burn.
All right, there's a whole bunch of stuff in the news, so we'll get to some of it. And then, Grant Newsom's going to join us.
Song's called Hurt. You can find it on your local music vendor.
And you spell it with an E, not an A. P-E-Y, not P-A-Y. So, just so you know. Alright, news headlines. From last week, the commanding officer of the Littoral Combat Ship Billings that has yet to be commissioned, that's up in Montreal. Do you remember, when another LCS was up there and got stuck in the ice and had to stay there the entire winter because it couldn't get out? Yeah, that guy got relieved. The commander of the Littoral Combat Ship that hit a moored ship, that means, parked in the water, in the St. Lawrence River in Canada has been removed from command. U.S. Naval Institute News has learned. So, that guy, he got relieved. All right. from Stars and Stripes, dozen wounded in Taliban bomb blast. In the Afghan capital of Kabul, the Taliban have claimed the complex attack, which began with a thundering bomb blast heard throughout the city around 9 a.m. when the capital streets were filled with commuters. Good to know they're serious about peace, eh? A car bomb and a gunfight targeted an Afghan military logistics depot in eastern Kabul, wounded at least 65 people. So that's going on today, as we speak. And so that's above the fold in Stars and Stripes. Turkey has rebuffed the United States and will receive the Russian, S-400 surface-to-air missile system, which the United States has said if they receive it, their participation in the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter will be terminated. So that going on this morning. President Trump says U.S. North Korea have agreed to restart nuclear talks during the historic DMZ meeting. Now, one of the things that's interesting about that is that, I've heard all kinds of commentary. It's a photo op. It's Trump being Trump, blah, blah, blah. And then I heard what I thought was the most interesting thing that I've heard about it is that, hey, you have to sometimes give to get. And what he did clearly benefited North Korea over the weekend. But you know what? If that's what he has to do to get back to the table and to get, you know, Mr. Kim in some position where he honestly looks at the President of the United States and says, hey, right, this guy's serious about this. And he's willing to back it up with economic programs that help my country. Now, that seems to be a place where he's never wanted to go. So, I don't know. I go back, what, 18 months, over a year? What were we doing? The North Koreans were shooting missiles over Japan. And again, I made the comment last week that thank God the Japanese aren't like the Israelis, because if they were, we'd already be in a shooting war by now. So again, I don't think anything bad comes from talking. The thing with the Chinese, we'll get, and again, Grant Newsham's going to come on in 11 minutes, and not 11, about 16 minutes. And so we'll talk to Grant about Pacific Rim kind of stuff. And so, my concern was, again, Trump's got an election coming up, and the Chinese know that, and the Koreans know that. So you can have a deal with us, and it will help you get reelected, but you're going to have to do it on our terms. And these are the terms. And Grant said that before, right? Grant has said, hey, you can have a deal anytime you want it. Just get on your knees and accept our terms. Which in the past, the United States, you know, has done. You know, we don't need an economic confrontation with China. Nobody needs that. Well, at what point do the Chinese learn to play by the rules? Oh, never? It's the world according to them? Well, that's interesting. And I guess it's a pretty sweet gig if you can pull it off. But so I was curious to see if the president would abandon his stance. And so by all the looks of it, it looks like that we will play that thing sideways a little bit and restart the trade talks. And then while we're talking about that, there will be certain relief for our farmers. And so as that relief for our farmers to help them hang with it happens, hopefully, you know, we can make some progress. But let me tell you, I don't believe that the Chinese can make the agreement that we want them to make, because their economic system is based on the forced transfer of technology. Their economic system is based on the theft of intellectual property rights. Okay, and it can't be just the United States that is a party to this. It needs to be the major economic powers that are free, be they India, be they the UK, be they France, be they Germany. They all have to be a part of that. And when that happens, then the Chinese will know we have to play by the rules. And that's important. That's important. So, again, I was curious to see if the president, but again, the president faces the political reality of, you know, the anxiety that is put on the economy, the anxiety is put on jobs, and one of the places that's been most loyal to him, and that is farm country. Now, it's not like farm country has another option, though. What are they going to do? Vote for Elizabeth Warren? Well, that ain't happening. We know that. We know they're not going to vote for Bernie Sanders. You know, and so, you know, the nation, and honestly, the world needs for the United States to get China to join the rest of the economic powers on the planet and act like a grown-up and stop this gangster-like nonsense that they do. And it would help if other nations threw in with us, but they're not there yet. So anyway, so it goes. But that's in the news, obviously, over the course of the weekend. And we'll talk to Grant about that here in 13 minutes. If you didn't see the kerfuffle that happened while the president was at the DMZ, yeah, his female new press secretary shoved a Chinese security guard, got media in, and evidently she got a little bit hurt. But come on, you got to give her high marks, man. Stuck her nose in there like a tough girl. So that was good. And then there was another little dust up. South Korea said the unidentified flying object that was over the DMZ was a flock of birds. One other story that's in Stars and Stripes this morning that we've been following, that is the trial of a Navy SEAL, Chief Gallagher, that's been taking place in San Diego, will go to closing arguments today and to its jury here probably by the end of the day. The Marine Corps headlines. And, again, I tell you, Monday's normally a slow headline day. I want to know why? Because the writers don't work over the weekend. Okay. Taliban just set off a series of a large complex attack inside of Kabul. Here's a headline. Afghan Taliban say latest peace talks with U.S. are critical. Now, here's the question about that. Okay. You've heard the discussion of big T and little T, right? Little T are the worker Taliban that work in Afghanistan. Now, they may be saying that these talks are critical. But the big T that exists in Pakistan that orchestrates things in Afghanistan, they may have orchestrated this. So, until you get the footnotes, it's hard to tell. Why would we be talking about these peace talks are critical and then kill, you know, I don't know how many people will be dead now because of this attack in Kabul today. But obviously, it's an odd situation. Top five stories in Early Bird here, pretty quick. Number one, president making history steps into North Korea. Yeah, you know, again, people can bash on Trump about oh, it's a photo op, it's all bullshit. You know, look, man, as somebody who had a son out in the Pacific, what, a year and a half ago, you know, talking's not a bad thing, right? Talking, do you remember the video from Honolulu where somebody screwed up an emergency broadcast system message and panicked people? One guy had a heart attack and died. Said that there were missiles incoming and that there was there was missiles incoming and this was no drill. I mean, we're a ways from that, and maybe it's not chrome and marble the path there. But the key part is that you're talking and hopefully you're getting to a better place. And the other key part is you're not giving anything away. Number two story. New Trump policies could end deportations for some active duty troops. So, you know what? To me, when you ask people to serve in this country that have green cards, to me there should be a status to a – there should be a path to a legal permanent status in this country. And I don't rightly understand how we take people that either are veterans and are then deporting them without some kind of major transgression. I don't get that. So I'm going to have to do some research on that, though, because that is not my strongest suit. Number three, Senate shoots down attempts to curb Trump's Iran war powers. You know, again, in my opinion, this is just eyewash. It's the Senate just getting after Trump because the president has the right, to defend the nation. But to go to war, which is different, right, he has to go to Congress. We get that. So any attempt to curb any president's powers in defending the nation quite rightly ought to be defeated. Number four, this guy is still in the news and he's a piece of trash, but Bo Bergdahl, it wasn't enough, right, that he walked off his post. It was enough that people were killed and injured looking for him, right? He now is seeking a new trial or clemency due to President Trump's comment. The Army's Court of Criminal Appeals heard arguments last week on Thursday in the ongoing case of Bo Bergdahl, with the former soldier's attorneys contending that the case should be reconsidered or Bergdahl should be granted clemency because President Donald Trump's comments and tweets tainted the proceedings. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'd love to see him retried, and I'd love to see him convicted of desertion in the face of the enemy and put in jail for the rest of his life. I can't tell you how much this story pisses me off. Now, he's a victim, right? He's a victim, right? Should have never been in the Army, first of all, and then he winds up in a combat zone and puts everybody else's life at risk. Last story in the early bird today is that Washington, I'm going to read you a couple other headlines, too, that you need to know about. Washington residents, hearing helicopters from military base is like living in a war zone. Okay, I know that sounds like something cool to say, but it's really not. Okay, it's really not like living in a war zone. Well, in D.C. it might be. Nah, let me take that back. I was going to say that it's really not like it, but given the crime rate and the murder rate in Washington, D.C., they might have a point. So I'm not going to say what I was going to say. Let's see. A couple other stories. President wraps his trip to the Far East by thanking troops that are stationed on the Korean Peninsula. In another related story, South Korea, and I'm not sure if it's just American troops, but the blood alcohol level for drunk driving was dropped to 0.03. And I think just about anybody that has a drink, does that get you to .03? I think it might. So that's in the news. And then here's the last story I'll talk about today. Outgoing U.S. Special Operations General warns of growing threat in Africa. Now, we've just drawn down our forces in Africa because, you know, as much as we say we don't want to be the world's policeman, this whole global war on terror spreads us pretty thin throughout the world. And then what it does is then when we are, when we're so spread out and we're focusing on playing whack-a-mole with all these small terrorist organizations, what it does do is it takes away our financial resources and other things to fight peers like Russia and China and Iran. So, anyway. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Grant Newsham, the one and only, will join us here on a Monday morning, and we will go ahead and we'll talk to him about, get his thoughts on the president at the G20. We'll talk about his discussions with China and what's come out of that. We'll talk about what's going on in Hong Kong today. We'll also talk about his trip to North Korea and see what Grant has to say about that, our resident expert in things relative to the Pacific Rim. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.